Accession number 16686, reel 2.
Mr. Ashton, reel 2. Did you have any protective clothing during the Battle of the Barents Sea?
Just the steel helmet and anti-flash gear, which is like a balaclava, white. You put it over your head.
How much use to you was the protective clothing?
Not much.
What job were you doing during the battle? What exactly did you have to do?
Wasn't doing anything, actually, because, well, we were signalling to other destroyers, you know, the oldest lamp. Of course, the WCT silence was broken then, because we were in battle and could see the enemy. Because normally you would never break WT silence. And then you know, didn't make the enemies in sight and all this.
How much of the enemy ships could you see?
Only a blur, really. They were a long way away, you know. And it was snowing, visibility was very bad. But the covering force, Admiral Burnett in HMS Sheffield and HMS Jamaica, they came with full speed to the battle. And the Heffer and Lutzow just broke the battle off and disappeared. They'd sunk the HMS Achates, and they'd blown HMS Bramble, the minesweeper, just blew it out the water. Nobody ever saw it, or no survivors or anything. She'd been sent to round up some merchant ships that had left the convoy in the bad weather. Anyway, we finally got back to Scapa Flow. It was, we all lined, we had to line the deck going into Scapa Flow. The fleet was there, battleships and carriers and cruisers. And it was a great thrill, really, because all the ships, their crew were lining the deck. All cheering us. More Royal Marine bands playing there, the Conquering Heroes Come. So that was very nice. Then we anchored and got our mail. And left the same day for Immingham. Oh. Where most of the ship's crew went on leave. I didn't go right away for some reason.
Could I just ask you one or two more things about
what you've
already said? What had you thought about Captain Sherbrooke's action in the battle?
Oh, excellent. Very good. I mean, there's no hesitation about going into attack. We were very lucky. I mean, we should have got blown out of water, really.
What did you see of the casualties on the Onslow?
Too much. Having to sew them up, you know, to bury them.
Did you know them personally?
Oh, yes. It's only a small crew, so you knew most people. The aftermath, years and years, well, not years and years later, um, my friend in Newport wrote to say there was a woman in lived in Wallasey whose husband was a stoker and he'd been killed on HMS Onslow in the battle, and she'd met somebody from the Onslow who told her that they were just thrown over the side like the waste, and she's still very upset about that.
Was that true?
No. They're all buried in full naval tradition, you know. So I got in touch with this woman and told her, wrote to her and said that was not true, and he was buried with full naval honours, you know. So she was happy about that. Well, she was, I don't know.
And you had to be laced with rum to be able to do the job?
Yeah. The coxswain was there, I know, remember him. I don't know. I suppose we all had a share of doing it, I don't really remember.
What was the worst part of doing that job?
Just sewing them up, you know, an hour. Terrible. I mean, they talk about stress and Gulf War syndrome and all this, and the policemen at Hillsborough. Well, that takes a load of nonsense. Nobody did anything for us, we just got on with it, you know. Anyway.
Could I just ask you about being ashore in Russia? Where was it that you were ashore?
Vayenga. V-A-E-N-G-A.
Is that part of Murmansk?
Yeah, just below Murmansk, yeah.
Did you have any contact with the Russians themselves ashore?
We lived with them, yeah. In the signal station.
Were they servicemen or...?
Yeah, soldiers. All soldiers, yeah. And some women. And you could see, it was like a wasteland. And the upsetting thing was, you could see all the bombers and tanks and things that we'd brought, just lying covered in snow, never got used, as far as we know. And you know they issued campaign medals, like for the Atlantic and whatnot. They never issued one for Russian convoys, because the Admiralty said it was home waters. So we never got a medal for that campaign.
Why weren't they using the war supplies you'd sent?
No idea. I don't know. Beyond me. Anyway, the Russians gave us, issued a medal a few years ago for us.
What were the Russian soldiers like in their behaviour?
They didn't have anything to do with it. Very unfriendly. I suppose we learned to speak a bit, understand each other. And as I remember, they were always waiting for the train to come for new boots and things, but it never came while we were there.
Were they well equipped?
No, they're terrible. They were really awful.
In what way?
There was one very nice old chap, he was always remembered, he was from Georgia. He was a nice chap. And we were called, what were we called? Angliski Matrosks, English sailors. It was good to get out of there, I'll tell you.
Were you fed properly?
No.
What did you have to eat?
There was a hospital there. It was British. I didn't say it was a hospital. And we used to have to trudge up there if we wanted anything to eat.
What did you get?
Oh, God, I don't remember. I really don't remember. I'll give you Tommy Upton's address, he'll tell you. He's got a better memory than me.
Did you go hungry?
Oh, are you hungry, yeah? Unshaven, dirty, terrible. That's what it was.
Couldn't you get back?
No, no, nothing there.
So did you get lice?
Yeah, yeah. There's a book written about the Battle of the Barents Sea. The book, it's not all about the battle, but that's included. And it mentions Tom and I being in Vianga.
What exactly was your job ashore?
Just singling passing ships, you know, because merchant ships were out there in the inlet.
Why couldn't the Russians do that?
Because I couldn't speak English. Anyway, finally went on leave from Inigum. And then I was unlucky again, because I was Captain D's staff. And I got recalled from leave to go with Captain D on HMS Offa. Captain McCoy. And he used to live in Formby, as a very, very nice fellow. Liked his whiskey. And went back on the convoys. I remember one Atlantic convoy, the weather was absolutely atrocious. And appeared right ahead of us a U-boat. So we went to ram it, but it dived. And Captain McCoy gave the order to fire all the depth charges, you know, the pattern all at once. But something went wrong with the communications, and we only dropped two. So whether we ever got a U-boat, we'll never know. But he wasn't very pleased.
Whose fault was it?
The guys on the depth charges, I suppose. Anyway, we went on a few convoys with HMS Offa and then rejoined HMS Onslow.
How did the Atlantic convoys compare with being in the Arctic?
Oh, they were better. Oh, they were. It was no fun, like. Better than the Arctic. Because you on the Arctic convoy, you had to go near the coast of Norway, where, of course, there's a fucker wolf shadowing us, and then they'd come and bomb us and whatnot. In the when we went back on the Onslow, we formed an escort group. I can't remember the number of it. Well, we'd take a convoy out halfway and switch to one coming back. So we were all over the bloody Atlantic. And we used to oil at sea. So we'd stay out for weeks. It used to be all right at one time until he started that, because you couldn't stay out too long because you're oil. Then he started this game of oiling you at sea.
So you were back in the Onslow for Atlantic convoys?
Yeah, and went back on the Russian one and Malta convoys. So, like the Russians, years and years later, the Maltese government issued a medal if you were in the siege of Malta. So I got a Maltese medal as well.
Did you go ashore in Malta?
Oh yeah, yeah.
What experiences did you have ashore in Malta?
Just drinking beer in the bar. See, in the Navy, somebody kind of looked after you, called a winger. Don't ask me why. And of course, I was young. So the chief yeoman of signals, this is on the illustrative, took me over. And he was, to me, like he was an old man, I don't suppose he was. He looked after me. We went to shore. Nothing. Nothing sexual about it, Rending, you know. I hasten to add.
So a winger was somebody who took you under his wing?
Yeah, yeah.
An older person?
Yeah.
Well, what exactly did he do for you? Give you advice, or...?
Yeah, just looked after you, you know.
Showed you the ropes?
Yeah. I can't remember his name. Chief Yeoman, he was.
So did every young person have a winger?
Not always, no. I mean, I think that's the only time I had one. I mean, must realise there was no privacy in the Royal Navy.
In what way?
Well, I mean, you'd go on the destroyer, you'd have a bucket and do your washing. And you'd be naked in the bathroom, well, whatever they called it. The heads. Everybody's naked and they're getting washed and whatnot. No.
But did you get any...
They didn't even have any doors on the toilet. Because of, you know, homosexuality, I suppose. But I never saw anything like that.
You never saw any homosexuality?
No.
In the Navy? Did you get rumours that people were homosexual?
No. Then, what was it? About October 1943, I left the Onslow, went back to Devonport. It was in Scapa Flow, just a little story, and there was a few of us drafted from the Onslow. So we're in this cutter going ashore, and we'd all had a lot of rum, because all your mates give you a drink of theirs when you're leaving. And for some reason or other, I don't know, somebody pulled a red flag out, and we're all singing the red flag, passing the depot ship, which was home for an admiral. Of course, the officer of the watch on the depot ship ordered us alongside. We had to go up on deck. And I always remember they picked this young Geordie fella out, young sailor. I think he got 7 days in their cells. We went back on board and got on the train to Plymouth. Now you can imagine, from Scapa Flow to Plymouth on a train in wartime was an awful journey. Anyway, we got off at York. I think we went in the canteen for the drink, and as we came out, the train was moving out, so we missed it. all our gear on it and everything. And he finally got back to Plymouth.
Was that Geordie the one responsible for getting the red flag out? Was he the ringleader?
I think so, yeah. I don't know why he did. He was only a young little lumpen fella.
Was there anything political in it?
No. Just for the run, that's all.
But was it because of any sympathy for communism or Russia?
No. I don't know what the hell he was singing it for, quite honestly.
But you knew the words of the red
flag. Oh, we knew the words, yeah.
How did you learn that?
I think we only knew them. We keep the red flag flying there. From the Labour Party conferences, I suppose.
Was it just a plain red flag, or did it have anything else on?
No, I think it was a Russian flag with the yellow
hammer
and sickle. Anyway, finally got back to Plymouth.
So that incident was at Scapa Flow?
Yeah.
In 1943?
No, 1943. Got to Plymouth, and then I was drafted to Boston in the USA to pick up a frigate which they'd built. And we're in the Boston Navy Yard. And then again, they cut our pay in half because of the dollar, you know, whatever. And there was a job going in their canteen, naval canteen, serving. The Yanks wouldn't have it because it didn't pay much. So I thought, oh, that'll do me. So I got this job in the naval US Navy canteen, frying hamburgers and hot dogs, making toasted sandwiches, serving the Yankee sailors ice cream. And we got paid for it. It was good. Then we'd all go out to Boston. Just outside the Navy Yard was a pub, or whatever they called it. And we'd all put our caps at the end of the bar on one top of one another, have a few beers. Then one by one they'd drop off and go and see their girlfriends, whatever. I had another mate of mine, he was Welsh from Cardiff, and we met this woman, very good looking woman. She had five kids, not her children, her husband, who was a senator in the US Senate. And he had a big rambling house out in Cambridge, outskirts of Boston. And this woman befriended us. And of course, my mate really fancied her, and he could play the piano. So they ended up in bed together. And she was, or had been, a stunt rider in the films in Hollywood. And I found a girlfriend out there. Can't remember her name, man. So we had a pretty good time. So the world wasn't all bad. Not for me, anyway. Anyway, this frigate kept breaking down. The bearings got hot or something.
What was the name of this frigate?
HMS Tortola, which is an island out in the Pacific. Anyway, it finally worked. And unfortunately for all, we sailed away back to the war. And on the Tortola, I was the yeoman of signals there. I was in charge of the signals, you know.
Which year have we reached now?
Well, 1944, imagine.
So you sailed the ship to Britain again?
Yeah, and we went back on Russian convoys. Captain Payne was the captain. He was in the Wavy Navy. Very nice chap. I don't think any startling happened. Just usual convoy work and whatnot. And just before the end of the European War, I was drafted back to Devonport, and then drafted out to the Far East, Australia. In those days, the pubs opened at 4:30 and they shut at 6 o'clock. Mad dash to get a beer. Didn't like Australia.
What was wrong with it?
Didn't like the people, too brash, you know. Anyway, I was lent to an Australian destroyer just before the Japanese War ended. Anyway, fortunately, it ended. I can remember us being in Rabaul, New Guinea, tied up, watching the Australian soldiers being very cruel to the Japanese prisoners. You know.
What were they doing to them?
Beating them, making them work. You know. And from there, when the war ended, I was drafted to Naval Party 2504 in Kyrie, Japan. I was on a ship. We were occupation forces. You're rationed to 2 bottles of Japanese beer a day. We couldn't fraternise with them. The young Japanese used to throw stones at us.
How old were they?
Not the kids, you know.
Was it in fun or?
Oh no, it was deadly earnest. We never took any notice, you know.
Did you retaliate?
No.
What was the name of the Japanese town?
Kuri. K-U-R-E. It was a port.
And what was the name of the number of the force?
And Naval Party 2504.
Who was in charge of that?
Oh, I don't remember. No idea.
And what kind of duties did you have with that party?
Don't know what we did, really.
Patrols?
Oh, yeah, patrols, yeah. We all had it. Well, they were right. We all had a Japanese servant, you know. It was, life was great. We were never cruel to them or anything. You know.
Were the servants men or women?
Men.